there. It's great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, getting started right now on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani. We got Rich Jesse, Jeff Burson, Ryan Penny all in place for their wonderful contributions to the daily broadcast. And we're glad that you are with us here because it is your program. How you doing, Deb?
Great. Great. We take off tomorrow for San Antonio.
That's right.
I'm so excited for the San Antonio. We got to name that this pilgrimage. We have the M&M pilgrimage. We have the Stand Tall pilgrimage. We got to name. Let's leave it up to the group that joins us. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah. M&M kind of flowed organically out of the Martyrs and Mercy tour that we took to the Northeast in August. So yeah,
right.
I like that idea.
It wasn't because we liked M&M's, that's why. Although I do like M&M's.
Could be because of that.
So I'm so excited to greet the folks in the great state of Texas. I cannot wait. I dusted off my Arizona cowboy boots. I'm ready to go. I'm so excited.
Wow.
You don't have cowboy boots, do you? That's too bad.
I don't, no. I may have to pick up a pair while I'm there.
Okay. Or a cowboy hat. You would look good in a cowboy hat, I think.
I think guys look good at least.
I think guys can pull off a cowboy hat. I don't know. I mean, some girls can, I guess. I guess. Who knows? All right. But today's topic, come on, let's not get off track here. It's, are your life's priorities in order? And this was suggested to us by one of our loyal listeners who said, you know, I'm finding that... Oh, that's so sweet. Look at Rich Jesse. He's so sweet. He says he thinks we both would look good in cowboy hats. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so
Time
sweet,
will tell.
Rich.
Couple more days.
He's so kind. We'll take a picture, right, Jerry?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So are your life's priorities in order? And this came to us as a suggestion. We put it on the show calendar. And what they meant by this is they've felt that in this world, there is way too much emphasis and obsession over work. You know the old saying, my work comes ahead of everything. My work comes first. And is that, you know, at the expense of our family and friends and most importantly, our faith? You know, so are your life's priorities in order? And if you've had to readjust or, you know, recalibrate a bit to figure out your balance in life and change things up so that you can put more emphasis on your faith and your family and your friends, we want to hear from you. We want to know the outcome of that, what it was like before and what it's like now. And we can learn from your life experience. So if you have something to say about life's priorities, especially when it comes to, is work kind of something you're obsessing about or something you put all your energy and focus into, we want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. I hope I got this topic correct. I'm sure we'll be hearing from our dear friend if I didn't.
Mom. I think you did. And one of the beautiful things is, as you know, Debbie, the church looks at work as something that helps to give man his dignity. So work is so very, very important. And yet we live in a culture today, it's sort of this utilitarian culture. It's you're worth whatever you can contribute to, you know, the workplace or to the culture or the society or whatever. And so I think we get just sucked into this constant need, you know, thinking that we need to be working all the time. And you know, that can consume us. And sometimes we can retreat into work as well. You know, it can be kind of an escape from troubles at home with the family. It can be an escape from, you know, a lot of different things. Or maybe you're just trying to get ahead. Maybe you're just trying to get ahead in your career. But perhaps it's gotten to be, you know, a little bit top heavy on the work side. 833-288-3986. Grab the lines while they're open because they fill up fast.
833-288-3986. That's the number to get onto the show today. And hurry to the phones because Ryan is waiting to pick up and talk to you and just put you on hold for a little bit. You get to listen live and jump right into the discussion. We've heard it said many times, Jerry, and I've heard it in so many Christian churches, actually. They really emphasize it, you know, God first, family, work, you know, God first, family and work, you know, in that order. But so many times we jumble that up. And you had made the comment about, you know, we identify with, you know, our work and that's, you know, gives us value and, you know, importance and stuff. But would you also say too, that the reason why I think there's a real hyper focus on work is because people are really nervous about losing their work. And so it's like, I'm going to do everything possible to hold on to this job because I've got benefits, I've got this, I've got that, and I'm going to do everything, and our family depends on it. And then if, God forbid, it does crumble, what happens then? I mean, you put all your emphasis into this. And, you know, Jerry and I are really big on the life. We use this diagram that we use in Catholic Life Skills. It's a diagram of your life, and it's a wheel and the balance of the wheel. And when you look at, when you rate everything, you know, from 0 to 10, and if something is out of balance, of course, that's like, you know, the wheel, okay, that it'll be out of balance. It'll be wobbly. It won't flow, you know, nicely. And so it's really important that we have these conversations so that we can examine our own lives and see where we're falling short in certain areas and maybe boost those up a bit so that that wheel of life, that work-life balance, is definitely in place. I think this is a very healthy discussion, Jerry, and a perfect one for the end of 2019, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we look forward to your takes. As always, you are the ones who drive the show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie Family. So here is your phone number. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Maybe you feel pressure from your manager or your boss to just really go, you know, put yourself so much into work that some other areas of your life are suffering. Maybe your family life, maybe your faith life, maybe you work an odd schedule. You know, one of my brothers, Debbie, works, I think he works, what is it, 4 10-hour shifts and then 3 days off, and then it just gets really crazy. So work can really, it can almost swallow us up sometimes. And the important thing is to realize, like Debbie, you know, we came up with the title for this program. You know, we talk about the workplace, and so we wanted to talk about putting work in its place, its proper place. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, we're not trying to diminish, you know, the necessity of work and how important that is. And your life's work is very important and has great value to that and dignity and worth. But we're trying to get it into perspective because, as you know, this world is pushing God out completely. It's out of our schools. It's out of our work. Places, it's out of our society, and God is being pushed very far away. And so it's important for us as Catholic Christians that we reintroduce it to get us to start to live it out in our families first, like St. Teresa of Calcutta said to do. Start in your families and your communities first, and then spread it out into the world. It'll just spread naturally. So we want to hear from you. If you have something to say about work-life balance, please call in. Don't sit this out at 833-288-3986. And coming up is your takes, your real life experiences about this idea. Is work too much of an obsession? We'll be right back.
And we can't wait to hear your takes on this topic today about work and your experience with, you know, how you put yourself, I'm sure you pour yourself into your job, but do you feel like sometimes you feel an obligation maybe? Maybe there's an emphasis on work that's a result of corporate expectations, things like this. What about if you work from home? Debbie and I both could talk about that because in a sense you feel like you're always at work. So let's talk about maybe this overemphasis on work and how you balance that in your life at 833-288-3986. And the Go ahead.
I was just gonna. Can I share a story about my late dad?
Yeah, but I was just gonna say people who are getting up to go to work in the morning, Debbie, can listen to the Sunrise Morning Show. That's what I just wanted to say.
Oh, go ahead. Quick. No. Go right ahead. That's more important.
No, at 6 o'clock Eastern Time here on most of these same EWTN radio stations, the Sunrise Morning Show. If you're up at that time of the day, get your day started with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim and the gang on the Sunrise Morning Show. Okay, good. Sorry about that.
Can I just share something? It just reminded me of my dad. I mean, if we're talking about work-life balance, folks. So if you have something to say about this, maybe you have mastered it, you know exactly how to balance the wheel of life, and you can share with us, that's great. We want to hear from you. But maybe you're a little bit out of balance and you'd like to talk about that. Please call in at 833-288-3986. Let me give you an example. My dad passed away in 2010, but my dad was in insurance. He was an insurance agent for like 55 years, 57 years, a long time from MetLife. And my dad had this absolute problem every time we as a family went away on vacation. My mom would get everything prepared, you know, everything packed, everything ready, the house closed up, the house locked up, and we'd race to the airport, to Newark Airport, because we lived in New Jersey. We'd race to Newark Airport. And if you live back east, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to get to the airport early. It's a very busy airport. And my mother was always had it timed perfectly. And my dad always, always on the way to the airport would say, "Connie, I have to stop at a client's house," or "Connie, I have to stop at the office for a minute." And it would drive my mother crazy. My mother would be screaming in the car going, his name was Bill William, but my mom called him Buddy. And she would just be screaming, "Buddy, get in the car. We're going to miss our flight." And he would do it all the time. And my mother used to always say, "You know, it drives me crazy because I understand that we need this job to support our family, 6 kids, right?" She got that. But it kind of invaded that very special time of, you know, family time and family vacations and kind of that portion of it. And she resented it very much. And I wonder, does that happen to other folks? Do you kind of resent, you know, you appreciate that the money's coming in and helping to put food on the table, but you also resent it a little bit as well? Is there that tension there? Let's talk about it. It just reminded me of that. It was actually kind of funny, but at the time it wasn't funny because it caused a lot of tension before our family vacations.
All right, 833-288-3986, talking about work today. Maybe here's something to think about. Is your workplace sympathetic to your desire and your wish to spend adequate time with your family? What about making sure that you are able to be off on certain holidays, you know, to practice, you know, your faith, especially I'm thinking of Holy Week and, of course, the Easter time and so forth. Maybe you have to work multiple jobs, extra hours, you know, more than 40 hours a week just to provide for your family. And so maybe you feel like got this conundrum here, you know, you don't want to make work your God, but you have to work a lot of extra hours perhaps to provide. So a lot of directions we can go with this. 833-288-3986.
Conundrum. That's a good word,
conundrum.
Jerry.
That's my word for the day.
It's your word for the day. You're so smart. Hey, Jerry, speaking of something real quickly before we get to the phones, I am so excited. Our Inspired by Faith book club, and folks, you can still join it. It's early in December. We're doing Gary Zimak's book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity. It's How to Know God's Will. It's led by Gigi. She's doing a great job. It's on Inspired by Faith. Look us up on Facebook, or you can go to jerryanddebbie.com. The information about the book club is right there. But I just heard this morning that we're up to 40 folks that have signed up. And I heard yesterday that Gary Zimak and his wife Eileen signed up. Is that so cool?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, Gary's book is the one we're going to be reading here in this month of December.
He gets to be in his own book club with his own book.
we will too, actually, don't we? We'll use our book one of these upcoming months, right?
Oh yeah, February. It's planned for February.
Okay,
I'm excited. That's the book. Take Two Real Life Stories, Loved Ones Who Have Left the Faith. And that's being compiled and edited right now, EWTN Publishing. We're so excited. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers has done our foreword for the book. We're very excited about that. Our stories are in there. All the names are changed, so you're going to have to figure out what story ours is. Ours is.
Well, before we go to the phones, if I may, I'd like to share. We got an email just right before the show, literally about 10 minutes before the show, from Kimberly. And it's an urgent prayer request. She listens, she says, almost every day. And her younger sister, Maureen, has recently been diagnosed with a malignant glioma. I hope I'm saying that right. But it's an aggressive brain cancer with a very low survival rate. And Kimberly describes her sister, Maureen, Debbie, as being very healthy, you know, eats healthy, works out, you know, no alcohol. I mean, just a really clean living. And yet she has been stricken with this aggressive brain cancer. So folks, let's keep Maureen and all of their family in our daily prayers. Let's start doing that right now.
Absolutely. Please, let's say rosaries, go to adoration. If folks can fast, please do that. We've got to storm heaven together. We're the mystical body of Christ, and we believe in the power of prayer. We've seen the effects of prayer, especially when we do it together as a family. So let's pray. Absolutely. Okay, Susan is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. First-time caller, you get the virtual bell. Hi, Susan. Did I say your city correctly?
Yes, right. Yes.
How are you?
I am pretty well today. Thank you very much.
Good, good. So what do you have for us, Susan?
Well, I'm calling because this topic is very near and dear to my heart. In fact, I told the screener, I even kind of brought this to confession this morning because of the guilt I feel about how much time and effort and energy I put into a business that I own. And there's really only volunteers that help me, and I have very sporadic help, but it's all on my shoulders. So I guess I'm throwing it out there for some advice in terms of if I'm running a business and it's a shop, it's a retail store, so there's a lot of hours involved with that, and everything's handmade, so there's a lot of hours involved with that. And it's thrown off my ability to care for my own home and my ability to spend time at home and care for my husband and my family and everything else. And we have other important things going on in our life that I just don't feel present for. And this is kind of a dilemma that keeps coming up because I just haven't been able to solve it. So I'm calling up to throw this topic out there. The buck stops with me. And, you know, I've sometimes felt that if it comes down to the priorities would be if I really wanted to put my family first, I would have to close the business. So I'm throwing it out there for just some ideas and resources that you might be able to help me with and maybe the audience, too, just to kind of help with this situation and being a business owner.
Right, right. I can go first if you want me to, Jerry, because I do have some things that I think may assist you, Susan. And I would, after we're done and we let you get on with your busy business, which it sounds like you have to devote full time to, please, if you can try to listen, because you're right, other folks will step up and will add some insights later on in the show. But Susan, one thing I would say is, you know, when you first wake up in the morning, you do have those moments before all the chaos starts, you know, before all the demands are upon you. Okay. And I would suggest, this is just me talking now as a sister in Christ, I would suggest using those moments very precisely. And what I mean by that is completely dedicated, obviously, to God first and family. And that's what I would do. Okay, I would take, and the reason why I say this is because my husband, he kind of owns his own business. He's a real estate broker, okay? So it's kind of, he's self-employed. It's his own deal, right? And as soon as he wakes up, the first thing he's thinking of is stuff he's got to do. You know, I got to call this client. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. And I said, wait a minute, stop. Let's focus on God first. I said, just take 10 minutes, take 5 minutes, take 3 minutes. And I would say, Marty, take 1 minute before you start thinking of it. And it really has helped him just balance the family, the God family work, you know, wheel, if you will. And I would suggest that first is really dedicated the first 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes of the day to God and your family. And then throughout the day, Susan, if there's any way you can incorporate spiritual things, like you said that things are, I think you said handmade. If there's any way you can be praying the rosary at the time you're doing things at work. I know that's hard to do, but we're all capable of multitasking. And I personally believe the Blessed Mother understands that. And if you're taking that time, that's a beautiful thing. If you can incorporate that, if you can have those stolen moments during the day with either special text messaging at a certain time that you connect with family or and even at nighttime to have that special set aside time where everything else, the whole world, you shut the whole world out and you just focus on your family. I'm sure you're probably doing this already, but all I can say just to reiterate is that we're all kind of faced with that. These major things that are just pounding us on a daily basis. We really have to set aside, carve out special time for God and for family. What do you think about that, Susan?
Well, I really appreciate that advice because it's a great reminder. It's something that I really aim to do, and it's not something that always happens every day. So maybe I can do something like actually set my alarm or an alarm to go to remind myself first thing in the morning, instead of thinking about the day right away, just give everything up in prayer and do that first before any of the other thoughts flood my mind. And I really like that idea because mm-hmm. I think it sets the tone for the whole day and then allows me to keep things in better perspective.
Right, right. And I was going to say that about setting the alarm. So I'm glad you said that. So you're right on top of it. And the other thing, too, is try it for 30 days, Susan, a real disciplined practice for 30 days. And you'll see it'll become so natural to your way of life. You'll say, wow, this is much easier. The other thing I would say real quickly, too, Susan, is it sounds like there's not enough time in the day to get everything done because, you know, running a business, you probably need to extend like 6-8 hours a day. Ask your guardian angel to help you with the business and also ask your guardian angel to extend time. Believe it or not, we've heard stories of it seems like the day gets a lot longer when you ask your guardian angel to get involved. Okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, Susan, thank you for your phone call to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We appreciate that. You will be in our prayers. And I was simply, Susan, if you're still listening, I was just going to add to what Debbie said, which I thought was excellent. You know, perhaps you may think that you're not at a point where, you know, you can hire some help in your business, and maybe it's not at that place. But what came to my mind, Debbie, was, you know, how a lot of parents, so you have both the mom and the dad working, and yet they want to maybe homeschool their kids, and they think we can't make ends meet. So they pray about it, they discern it, and in trust, they make that step. And so maybe for Susan, Debbie, it's maybe their business is at a point where she can go, okay, Lord, you know what? Because I want to spend more time with you, with mm-hmm. my family and others, I'm gonna trustingly take this step, maybe even a part-time person, and just take some of that load off. So maybe that's something else Susan can think about.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Susan, so very much. Great, great. I think this helped all of us, actually. Jerry, that was excellent. I love that. And a great lesson in trust, because we should be trusting God with everything that we are blessed with and we are entrusted with. So thank you again, Susan. Please, if you can continue to listen, because I'm sure other folks will have some things to say about this. If you want to jump in on this conversation about work-life balance, if maybe your wheel of life is a little out of balance because work takes too much of a priority, we want to help you reprioritize with this conversation at 833-288-3986.
Yeah, in fact, Susan, do keep listening because I see Ginger coming up has something that will definitely be of help to you. But Patrick was next in line in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio and a first-time caller. Hi, Patrick. Welcome to Take Two.
Hey. Hello.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks for the call. What's your take on this?
Yeah. No problem. I just wanted to ask about... So when we put God first in our lives, like compared to like work or other activities, is it best to like measure like our commitment to putting God first, or like how do you go about measuring that act of putting God first or putting the faith first?
You know what, Patrick, that is a great question, and the church recognizes something that is called one's state in life. And what that means is, you know, if somebody goes into a monastery, then their prayer life is going to be probably several hours a day in terms of Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours and maybe a rosary and an hour of adoration perhaps and then different communal prayer activities and so forth. That's one thing, and that would be the same, you know, for men or women who go into a cloister or a monastery or a convent. I don't know what your state in life is, but for most of us, it's working. You know, it's getting up, putting an 8-hour day in or more, as we're talking about today. And so we have to gauge it based on that. And I think Debbie's advice to the previous caller was good. Maybe just, you know what, I heard a homily just last Saturday from the priest, and he just said, you know, just go in and just say, hi, Jesus, it's me, mention your name, and then you can leave. So it doesn't have to be elaborate or anything, but the thing is, if you're doing... We also have what we call minimum requirements. I shouldn't call them minimum requirements, but the obligations in the church. And Patrick, we'll get to more of this here in just a second because we're going to hear this music. But we have, you know, these obligations that we have, you know, weekly Mass, going to confession once a year if we're conscious of mortal sin, things like this. But we should try and add a little bit to that. And there are easy ways to do that. And I know Debbie's going to have some great advice to share with you as well on the other side here. Ginger will be after that, and we've got some phone lines are full right now, 833-288-3986. We are glad you're with us here on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. You know, Debbie, I think my tongue grew several inches during the night.
What happened?
Well, I'm tripping all over it today, so I'm trying to string together a coherent sentence or two. Maybe I'm so excited. I was so excited to answer Patrick's question because
and
I
then
had
he
such
hung
a...
up. And then he hung up.
Well, why don't you take a swing at this, because it is such an important question.
Yes,
for people who are, you know, in the workaday world, have families to provide for, aren't necessarily tucked away in a convent or a monastery, but really have to try to fit God into their daily lives. What would you say to Patrick?
Okay, first of all, I want to say you did an excellent job responding to Patrick. I thought it was fabulous what you said. It definitely, you can definitely tell your seminary training was coming out in that response, which I thought was fabulous. We used to get asked this question all the time in religious education. Patrick, I do hope you're still listening, because you asked a great question that I think represents so many folks. First of all, a lot of kids in religious education used to feel like they weren't giving enough to God, so they wanted to know how to give more to God. Parents would ask the same question: how do you know? How do you gauge if you're given? How much time you're giving, how much effort you're giving, you know, and we as adults can feel guilty, like we are somehow neglecting God, right? But, you know, it's a relationship. And if you want to deepen a relationship, okay, you have to put time and effort into it. You have to invest yourself. And so what I used to say to adults and to teens and to children that were in religious education, whether they be catechists or students, I would say this: let your first thoughts in the morning be about God, and let your final thoughts in the day be about God. And hopefully in between, there'll be other thoughts and prayers given to God. And you build that continual relationship. And if you can make your first thoughts when you wake up in the morning about God, it does set the tone. Exactly what Susan said, our first caller, it sets the tone for the day. Is the day God-driven or is the day world-driven? Okay, and I used to say this all the time. And then folks would say, oh, I get it. So if I just start thinking about God, naturally I'll start wanting to know more about God, talk to God. Yes, that's a relationship. And we are called into a deeper relationship. I wouldn't stress out over it, because I will tell you, we do see people in monasteries and convents and stuff like that, and we think, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do 8 hours of prayers, you know, and stuff like that. That's not, may not be where we're at in life, like Jerry was saying, okay? But we can focus our first thoughts, our first efforts on God in the morning, and let's see where it takes you for the rest of the day. That's what I used to answer, Jerry. I hope that was sufficient enough for Patrick.
Yeah, and I, God bless the men and women who respond to that call to religious life. Thank you for they're the heartbeat of the church and really keeping us all going. But Patrick, I think just from a practical standpoint, if this is what you were looking for, obviously go to Mass on Sunday or Saturday evening, the Vigil Mass. Maybe once a week, try to find a chapel, a parish nearby that has an adoration chapel. Spend an hour there. If you can't spend an hour, spend 15 minutes. Rosary,
five minutes.
Pray the rosary weekly if you're able, daily, if at all possible, and maybe just 15 minutes daily of just quiet meditation. Debbie's already mentioned how important that is in the morning. So, Patrick, I hope that's helpful for you. We really appreciate you listening and calling the program from Columbus.
Yep, thank you so very, very much. Okay, Ginger is up next in Columbus, Ohio as well. I wonder if you guys are neighbors listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Ginger. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. I was going to say Patrick can always go to the Immaculate Conception Perpetual Adoration Chapel. It's a 24/7, and it's a doorbell adoration chapel, so he can just ring the doorbell, and Jesus is waiting there and happy to see him whenever he would get a minute to stop in.
Ginger,
the parish of my childhood.
I have to ask you, 24/7 doorbell, who's letting people in at 2 a.m.?
whoever's
in there.
Adoring it.
Oh, okay. So you got people signed up.
Yeah,
of course. Okay,
oh, yes.
Awesome.
I adore on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, and it's very special. Anyhow,
beautiful.
The reason I called was because I had a career in health insurance beginning in July of 1974, and I wore a lot of hats and had a lot of different positions. In late 1986, I was offered an opportunity for a sales position, and I had to pray real hard about it because it was for commission only. And I prayed, and the Lord told me if I would work first and foremost for His greater honor and glory, and secondarily for the good of my clients, He would reward me. So I went into the position knowing that I was going to work first and foremost for His greater honor and glory, and secondarily for the good of my clients. And I can't tell you how successful I was, so much so that I was not even 62 and a half years old when I was able to retire. My father had died in December of 2003, and 2002, and my mother was in a nursing home, and it was just time to go. The HIPAA laws came in. I couldn't find solutions for my clients' needs. But when I would go to meet with a new client and show them options that I had to offer them, I told them right up front that I worked first and foremost for the greater honor and glory of God, and secondarily, I worked for their good. And I said, what's in it for me is, you know, God's blessing. And He blessed and blessed and blessed. And the more I had, the more I had to give away. And it was just so simple. But I was raised in a household where my parents stressed to us, God first, God first. They would tell us, we love God above all else, and then we love one another, and then we love you kids. And so I grew up knowing God has to be first in every facet of my life all the time. And the rewards are just unbelievable. And selling health insurance primarily is what I was selling, employee benefit plans to employers. It was challenging, to say the least. It was very challenging. But I was very successful because I put God first, and I told my clients. And when my boss every October would call me in his office and ask me for my goals for the following year, I tell him, honest, I have one goal, and that's to get to heaven. I didn't care about anything else. So
wow.
I just want to encourage people to put God first, and the blessings that come. You know, I've never lived on a budget. Life is very simple if we really, truly put God first.
Ginger, this is absolutely beautiful. I love your heart and your spirit. I'm sure Debbie does as well. And I'm sure God is and has been so pleased with your approach to this. And this is a great, great lesson for all of us. And I love to go to Scripture when I hear comments like yours. And I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks, starting about verse 25, not worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Doesn't God?
He tells us, Jerry, 365 times in Scripture, He tells us not to worry.
Yep,
he tells us not to worry. So why do we? Why do we? Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. That movie Faustina just reemphasized the importance of trusting in Him. He's all we have, Jerry, in this world today that is so sin-sick. All we have is Him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. He's the constant.
He is. Yeah, and in verse 33 of Matthew 6, that famous line that we all know, Ginger and Debbie, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What do you think?
Added,
Go ahead.
Well, Ginger, if I may say this, the reason why you didn't hear Jerry and I responding as you were talking, because we had our mics down, because we definitely want to save your call for future use. And I'll tell you why, because it needs to be replayed many, many times for all of us to listen to, because this world tells us not to trust. This world tells us that we should try to control everything and, you know, manipulate everything and make things happen for ourselves. And you did exactly what we all should be doing. We give it to God first. It's all for the glory and honor of God. And if we trust and we just surrender ourselves and we do our best, I'm sure, Ginger, you gave it 110%. You gave it your best, and God will bless it because it was done for the right reasons. That's what I believe. And I'll tell you what, Ginger, you're not the only one right now speaking about this, okay? I'm seeing on Facebook right now, and folks, you could probably attest to this. I don't know, you know, sometimes Facebook, the postings are true and not true. I'm not sure, but there's one circulating right now with Patricia Heaton, the actress, talking about, you know, all the gifts that we have should be used for the glory of God. I understand Kanye
Absolutely.
West is, yeah, I understand Kanye West is talking about that right now.
His conversion.
Right. He's going around saying all gifts should be used for the glory of God. You know what? This is scriptural. This is something we all should do. But I'll tell you what, Ginger, you made the comment. I think you said it. You said, why don't we just trust? Because the world is pounding us and telling us, don't do that. If you do that, you're being stupid. Okay? It's so different. We have to rise above this world. If we don't, we're going to get sucked down into this world, and we're going to be stuck in this, how do you want to say it, Jerry? Like it's like a mud hole. It's horrible. It's like a sinkhole. You can't
quicksand.
Get out of it. Quicksand.
Like quicksand.
Yeah. And that's what Satan wants for us. He wants us to be stuck. Do you know why, Ginger and Jerry, do you know why life skills right now is so popular? Do you know why? I'll give you the answer. You don't have to answer. It's because people are stuck and they don't know how to get themselves out of that. And what you just shared, Ginger, is one way to get out of that feeling of being stuck. And this is why we do this show, is to help others be free from that and really live out what God had intended for all of us. I say amen to you, Ginger. Kudos to you. Thank you for stepping up and sharing with all of us today. You had an amazing global platform and you did it so well. Is there anything else you'd love to share with us?
One of my favorite books, Debbie, is Hope for the Flowers by Trina Paulus. Mm-hmm. Where it talks about the caterpillars climbing up, climbing up, climbing up. And I see all around me people climbing over one another to get more, to get more, to get more. And that's not what it's about. We've got it all. We've got it in Him.
Amen.
We've got it all in Him.
Amen.
So, you know, I can't say enough about just trusting, letting go and trusting.
Amen, Ginger. Beautiful, beautiful take on the program today. Thank you so much.
And I want to know that I'm going to be praying for Maureen. I've been praying for a young woman named Kelly who somebody called in about her and brain cancer. I don't know if it was 6 weeks ago or what, but I've been praying for her every day. Your program is wonderful. Keep up the good work, okay? Keep up the good work.
Well, pray for us, Ginger, please. Thank you. We love you, too.
I'll do it.
Yeah, Kimberly, if you're listening right now, hopefully you take a little consolation in that Ginger and others are praying for your sister Maureen. So thank you again, Ginger, for your call. You know what this brings to my mind, Debbie, and to my heart, and I'm very deeply disappointed over it, and I'm sure you must be, too, and not to take the show in another direction, but, you know, for all of its history up until recently, Chick-fil-A, you know, has been closed on Sundays, you know, in honor of the Lord's Day. It was founded by a Southern Baptist, I understand. And, you know, recently they have made the decision not to give to certain, you know, charities that don't, you know, that maybe uphold, you know, traditional marriage and so forth. And I just look at that, Debbie, and I say, you know, one of the last great, you know, holdouts in our society, you know, has now in a sense capitulated, and I can't be confident of their future. You know, I'm not making any predictions, but you know, God has blessed them all these years, like Ginger was talking about, Debbie. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad that they don't take a step back and look at the big picture and see that. You know, we've done this. We've been closed on Sundays. We've given to Christian charities, you know, and God has helped them to thrive. And now their future, I think, is going to be an uncertain one because
Why don't you share with our friends, Take Two family, because maybe they don't they're not aware that now they're not going to be giving it to charities that support traditional marriage, I understand.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then they've changed their direction of what they're going to support. And so I also think it's a big betrayal of all of us, of those that have we all stepped up. And I remember when it all first came out that they were this wonderful Christian organization. And I went and bought a ton of Chick-fil-A. Okay. And I'm sure the rest of us did as well. And so we stepped up and supported them when they stood up against the world. And now they kind of sold out, if you will. It's very sad.
It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. So let's get back to your calls here, talking about work today and trying to keep work and the rest of life in balance. 833-288-3986. Jen in Pennsylvania, thank you for waiting patiently on the line there. Jen, listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Jen. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have kind of a long story, and I'm going to try to keep it as concise and to the point as possible. There's just a lot of points. I was listening to Ginger's call, and it's that was a really beautiful, encouraging call. And I feel like I have a hard time. I definitely feel like, oh yes, I give God my trust, you know, and all that. And you know, I feel like maybe I trust on the macro level, but maybe I don't trust on the macro, on the micro level, and forget, you know, like as the day unfolds to trust in God in every little thing, you know. But so here's the story. So we have a daughter who's 3.5. I was home with her for the first 17 months of her life, and then I had to go back to work. We have a baby on the way in May, and my husband and I just both have a really hard time, you know, with keeping everything both in order at home and then doing what we need to do at work on top of it. And our daughter is very active, and she's constantly, like, more than active. She's constantly, like, undoing whatever we do behind us at home. So it's hard to keep the home physically in order. And throughout my life, since I was, you know, 15 years old, it hit me like, oh my goodness, I never want to send my kids to a public school. So I've always been looking for a job where I could work at home and be with younger children and be able to pay for Catholic school and all this. And I tried being a realtor so I would have flexible hours. When I was in college, I became an accountant because I figured if I were to maybe work at home at some point, then that would probably give me the best chances to do that. Last year we moved from Connecticut because the state, unfortunately, is dying economically because of suffocation by taxes. I'm blessed now that we moved to Pennsylvania to be able to find a job where I do work at home as a bookkeeper, but I'm just having a hard time juggling it all. As well, you know, it's just like we're poor in terms of time, in terms of money and everything. We're, you know, working on filing bankruptcy. I have gestational diabetes, which I'm determined not to go on insulin for. So I'm doing everything I can to control with diet, but that's time consuming because that involves cooking and all this. My husband has ADHD. He's obese and he's very slow moving physically. So although he tries to do things around the house, he does things around the house, but he ends up often staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning, many nights to do things. He's exhausted. So that's not good for him at work the next day, you know? And so I try to pick up the slack, and we're just having a hard time just doing everything and sacrificing for each other. And it's like no matter what we do, it's like the harder we work, the behinder we get.
Right.
And I don't know what to do anymore, you know.
Okay.
Daughter's having issues getting to bed and getting to school anywhere near on time.
Jen, if you want some quick advice, because the clock's gonna run out, but I wanted to share something because you're like so many couples that are raising a family. So it's coming at you fast and furious, and you're trying to tackle everything and stay ahead and stay kind of treading water. I get it. Totally get it. Okay. You have to do what Jerry Usher always says, reframe things. Okay. So the first thing is the bankruptcy. Okay. That's a new opportunity. That's a new beginning for you guys to rebuild, to do things right, to set the foundational elements. So look at that as somewhat of a positive. Okay. And then Jen, I would say with you and your husband on the health issues, you've got to tackle those just even day by day. Just a little bit. Okay. You're not going to change it overnight. Okay. The weight issues and the diabetes and everything, you're not going to change that overnight, but do a little bit. A little bit goes a long way. So if you guys could just commit to 5 or 10 minutes on each of these little areas, okay, even though you may feel like, oh, we're never going to accomplish this, you will. You will. You have to trust me on this one. I think I'm a lot older than you. You sound pretty young. So I will tell you that you will see a little bit goes a long way. It's like baby stepping. The problem is when you get so overwhelming, Jen, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel this way. I know Jerry and I talk about this. When it gets so overwhelming, you want to just pull the covers over your head and go back to bed, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so a little bit goes a long way. Remember that. Just do a little bit each day, and you will see in 10, 20, 30 days, you're going to say to your husband, oh my goodness, we've lost 5 pounds. I feel a little healthier. Hey, this is working out better. You'll see. It'll start to work out. Would you keep in touch with us? Because I would love to journey with you, and if there's anything more that we can assist you with, I would be happy to. And our email is take2@ewtn.com, but I know Jerry wanted to jump in and share something.
All I would add, Jen, I thought Debbie shared was fantastic. I would just share with you what you probably already know and are doing, but you're going through a lot of difficult times, and every single second of every day is a chance for you and your husband and your daughter to grow closer as a family and to really grow in holiness, you know, and these are uncomfortable times. Debbie said, you know, there's a chance for a new kind of a fresh start, build a new foundation. In the meantime, don't waste these moments by, you know, not offering them to the Lord. I know you know this already, Jen, but you can do so much good. If you have family members or friends who are struggling or suffering worse than you are, maybe people who are ill, people who are dying, just make sure that you give this all to the Lord, because he is going to use this in a very powerful, powerful way. So thanks, Jen. We appreciate your call to Take Two.
Okay. Thank you so very much. We've got, are we going to have time for one more? Or we have an email that just came in for a message to Susan. Did you want to share that?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, it just came in from Donna, has a message for Susan. I think just because I know we asked Susan to listen to the whole show. Did you see that just come in? Am I the only one that saw that?
No, I see it, but I'm just wondering about the time.
Why don't you make the call? Because Jerry's the king of the clock.
Well, tell you what, best of all, if Susan can email us at take2@ewtn.com, we can go ahead and share with you the substance of Donna's email. We don't need to necessarily put you in touch with each other. But Susan, if you're still listening, send us an email at take2@ewtn.com.
Perfect. Okay, so Angel, real quickly, in Albany, Georgia, thank you for waiting and welcome. Hi, Angel. Hello.
Okay. I'm sorry.
There you are. Okay.
I'm here.
Can you get close to your? Yeah, we can hardly hear you. Do it again.
Is that better?
A little bit.
It's a little bit. Really fuzzy connection. Tell you what, Angel. Let's let Ryan check back with you. He'll get on the phone with you and see how that sounds, because we really want to hear your take on this. It looks like a great one. But in the meantime, let's go to Wendy in Williston, North Dakota. Wendy, we've got 90 seconds, but we wanted to make sure that we got you on. Welcome, Wendy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm just calling with some information that I wanted to pass on to Maureen. I hope she's still listening. My mother had been diagnosed with a glioblastoma multiforme, which is the grade 4 brain tumor. Given 6 to 9 months, she went to Duke Brain Tumor Center, Durham, North Carolina. It is a wonderful, amazing place. She lived another 7 years with them. They offer you hope and everything. So if she could contact them or anybody else that's going through that, I just wanted to pass that on.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, Debbie, thank you, Wendy, so much. That's always so important. that we hear stories, Debbie, like your own. You know, you have your own cancer thriving story. You know, what was it, 1994?
Mm-hmm.
You had the thyroid cancer, and now you're able to inspire a lot of people who are experiencing that themselves. So this is absolutely fantastic. Kimberly, I hope that you were listening to the show today, because a lot of prayers. I mean, heaven is being stormed on behalf of your sister Maureen, and we're gonna continue to fervently pray every day as Will It Take Two family.
Absolutely. And Angel, we're so sorry we lost you in Albany, Georgia. I understand that you're a police officer and you have a very interesting story that pertains to this topic. We would love to hear your story. Could you email us, Angel, please? And thank you for being a police officer and protecting all of us. That is so important. Great work you do at Take2@EWTN.com. Folks, again, we get an abundance of emails. We love your emails. We read everything, sometimes twice, three times. We're not able to respond to everything in a timely manner, so please forgive us for that, but know that we are reading your emails, and we value that you just love being part of the Take Two family, because we love you as well.
All right, be praying for us, Debbie and I, and Debbie, she's traveling with her husband, Marty, and I'll be traveling as well to San Antonio tomorrow. Debbie will be on the show. I'm going to try to call in and be on from the airport, so we'll see how that goes. But we're going to be talking about, do you talk to your friends about your faith, or do you try to avoid that out of fear of being ridiculed or anything? That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Until then, we wish you a beautiful and blessed day.